everyone. Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 236. Oy. I think that's right.
It's around the same area.
That's right.
I think
that's
right. Area. Yeah.
My name is Chris Furcio. I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Travis is not with us right now. He will be with us later, apparently. He has had to work late, so he'll be joining us after the first half of the show for the feature, and which we are doing... Oh, shit. I did it again.
We're doing... What, you forgot?
Yeah, this is the second week in a row where I just...
We're doing whether or not you'd give up graphical fidelity and presentation versus devs, you know, keeping that shit low.
Staying afloat.
Yeah.
Staying afloat. It's kind of weird timing because I keep getting more 38 Studios news. Yeah, it's horrible. I'm just so tired of seeing that. I feel bad for them. You know.
Yeah. That's a little bit different though. But
absolutely. Yeah. But I think they jumped way in. They jumped into the deep end as soon as they started.
They were like, no fucking water wings or training wheels. They just went right. They got right on that fucking motorcycle.
It's like, hey, let's just build an MMO. That sounds easy, right?
Yeah.
Psh, right. So we're going to be talking about that. Beforehand, we'll do distractions and news. And then afterwards, after Travis joins us, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week.
Yeah.
Before that, Jeff, what's up, man? How you doing?
Not much. I'm doing okay. We're just finished a crazy heat wave here. I think it set like world, like a record for June in Toronto.
So it was like 80?
It was like, I don't know what that is. I don't know. No, it was more like fucking 90s. It was like, I don't know what 40, it was 30, like around 35-ish Celsius. But with the Humidex, it was supposed to feel like more like in the 40s. And I'm pretty sure that translates to like the 90s for you guys, or close to 100.
It's been the 90s all week here, pretty much.
Yeah. But we have like, I'm not sure how you guys have, our humidity is really, really bad, and that's what makes it really suck.
Oh, yeah, it rained all last week, pretty much.
Oh, man.
So,
everything sticks to you, you stick to everything. It's just, it's awesome. But, you know, it's kind of coming down for the weekend, which is good. It's going to be a little bit better. So, tomorrow.
A little cooler.
A little bit cooler. Still going to be really nice, though. So we're going to hit up the beach, I think, tomorrow. We're going to, me and, Tanya and a bunch of friends are probably going to go down to the beach area and set up a nice, like, picnic type atmosphere with probably a bunch of booze and red cups. And, hopefully we don't get any tickets. So.
All right.
Should be fun. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. What about you?
Not much new. Me and my wife started watching the latest season of Doctor Who. I'm not sure if you're into that show, but, I know some of our listeners are. It's really, really cool. I have to watch it on Netflix because we don't get BBC America here. Mm-hmm. So I have to wait until it gets on Netflix, but, we're almost done with the season and I'll tell you what, man, this is one of the first times where I've been watching Doctor Who and just got completely blindsided by something that happened in the plot. So
I can't believe that did they bring that back? It hasn't been going on this long, has it?
Oh, dude, it hasn't been going on this long. But this is the sixth season of the new series.
Okay.
And it started out with Christopher Eccleston. I don't know if you know who that is.
No idea who that is.
So he was the I think the ninth Doctor, mm-hmm. and then David Tennant came on and he was the tenth Doctor. David Tennant.
No, never mind.
Oh.
You said the doctor, and I said...
Oh, the doctor. Who? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little slow. but he was there for, I think, three seasons, and now Matt, this guy Matt Smith, who's... he's definitely not as good as David Tennant was, but he's the 11th Doctor, and he's been on for two seasons. So, it's pretty good. It's a little bit more serious this season, you know, we're enjoying it anyway.
That's good.
But, that's about it. Hopefully this weekend we're going to go see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
That actually looks pretty cool. It's so off the wall, but it actually looks cool, like all of your trailer I see.
Oh, dude, I want to see it really bad. Like, all seriousness, I really want to see this. Cause I think
and I want to see Ted.
It's such an
Ted
interesting idea.
Yeah, it's a totally cool concept. It's just so weird, though. Like, really? That's pretty cool.
No, I agree. What else did you want to see?
I want to see Ted.
Ted.
That's the one with Mark Wahlberg. It's written by, what's-his-face.
Oh, right, the bear.
The bear, with the teddy bear, and he grows up with him, and the bear actually grows up too, and they're still like good buddies.
Yeah, that's one that I'm going to have to see on HBO.
Seth MacFarlane, he's the one who wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
Looks pretty damn funny. It's getting good reviews so far right now too.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one's going to be on the HBO list after it gets out of theaters, because I know that there's no way I could convince Crystal to see that movie.
I really don't like. It's not like me and Ty just don't go see too many movies lately. Like we'll see one every like few months, and that's about it. It's usually a big release.
It's
like
half
Avengers
your rent
or
check.
It's so expensive, dude. Like literally to go to a freaking movie now and like get something to eat, and if we don't get something to eat at the movie, we usually go out for dinner beforehand. It's like the cost of like a video game or like something like that. It's pretty crazy.
And forget it, if you see it in 3D, it's like $4 extra.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you know? Yeah, and most of that shit just rips off. off anyway.
Absolutely.
It's like, no, it really is in 3D. It's like, here's the credits in 3D and everything else. It's like, what?
We just wanted to make you pay an extra $4, that's all.
Exactly. Or $199. We'll get there later.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do some distractions.
Okay, let's do that.
What do you got going on? What are you playing?
Okay, stuff that we both won't be talking about. I played, we brought back, I won't want to say Thursday Night Fights. We'll call it Wednesday Night Fights, because we haven't done that in a while, like in a kind of a group session. That's when we play fighting games. We usually do it after recording, usually on Thursdays.
Right, right.
And we just stay up to like 4 o'clock in the morning. But this was actually
on
Wednesday.
And then hate yourself on Friday.
Pretty much. We did it on Wednesday, and I hated myself on Thursday this time. We were up till about 4:30, but it was, Jason, Blue Steel, the Marquis, actually, and some of our listeners might remember him from VG Evo back
really?
In the day, now Retroids. Yeah, he joined us, and myself, we played some Virtual Fighter.
Okay.
Online Virtual Fighter Final.
I was going to say, if Marquis was there, I know you weren't playing Street Fighter.
No. So. Well, yeah, we started playing that, and that's actually, I had a lot of fun because Marquis, he kind of knows what he's doing with a couple characters. Like, he's played the game well. I played it a lot back in the day on the Sega Saturn, like Virtual Fighter 1, 2. Played a little bit of 3 on the Dreamcast, and I played a little bit of 4 on PS2, but Virtual Fighter 4, I only played single player because none of my friends were playing it back in those days, and it wasn't online, so whatever. But it was a lot of fun because Jason, myself, and Blue were kind of like, I wouldn't say super new to it because we all have some experience, but none of us really knew what we were doing, so it was kind of fun in that regard. It was kind of laughing at shit that was going on, and we would try to like figure out combos and just do like, you know, try to do crazy shit, and even like little shit that just happened to make us go, "Oh, it was awesome!" And so it was one of those nights.
Yeah, cool.
And it was a lot of fun. Actually, I really like the game. I really want to kind of get decent at it, but
that is probably. I mean, it doesn't seem like it at face value, but that's apparently like the deepest of the
3D
fighters.
It probably is the deepest 3D fighter, and it's the reason why is because it's only 3 buttons: there's guard, punch, and kick. But there's so many moves, so many combos, and the game's. From what I read, like, I can't play on a decent level at all, but from what I read, it's basically like a chess match. It's more about, it's not necessarily about priority moves and stuff like that, and like hit stuns and that kind of thing, or hit canceling. It's more about rock, paper, scissors on how you engage your opponent and what you do after they finish a combo, kind of stuff like that. Because the same rules that happen in like most fighting games don't really apply in these. Like, some moves will stuff out some moves sometimes, not all the time, and it depends on a bunch of other shit. Jason linked us to a tutorial on Virtua Fighter that was like over 2 hours long.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh my god, like, no, I'm not watching this. I'll just play it casually and try to get good with a couple characters. But it was a lot of fun. We played it for a while.
Does that come with a special edition?
Yes, yeah, fuck it, should. Well, I got it. Well, the reason I got it is because I got PSN Plus for a year. I got the year subscription. I think it was finally time to sign up for that because it's finally starting to look good for me. So that's free if you have PSN Plus. At least the base level entry is
the $15.
Yeah, and then you have to pay the other $15 whatever for all the costumes and customization stuff. But we had a couple hiccups with the online at first, but then it sorted itself out and it was good. It has lobbies, you can watch and everything. Spectator mode. Ran pretty fast online. A little bit of input lag on some of the more specific moves. Like, if you're doing, like, a combo, like, punch, 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 kick, that was fine. But if you're doing, like, punch, punch, back and punch at the same time and kick, sometimes it wouldn't register that punch as being the back and punch punch unless you did it quite early. Or, that's what I found anyway, with depending on the connection. But it was a lot of fun. And then after that, we went and played some Third Strike. Because Blue wasn't too great at Virtua Fighter, and we just wanted to change it up for a bit. And then when we went to Street Fighter Third Strike, it was just Marquis and Blue like owning Jason and I. So
yeah,
it was when it was the other game, it was kind of the other way around. Well, actually, Marquis is good at Virtua Fighter too, but it was fun. It was good. It was good to bring that back.
Very cool.
Yeah. Other than that, I played a little bit more Diablo. Not too much this week, actually. Hardly at all. I think I just played a little bit on hell mode to go up like half a level maybe, and then
yeah, I was
going to
say you beat Nightmare this past week, right?
I did beat Nightmare. Yeah. I can't remember if I talked about that on the show last week or not. So I am on hell, and hell is a bitch compared to Nightmare. So
even after all the nerfing,
I have not played since the patch. And that,
well,
that
if
is
you,
come
if you had if you had
ago.
Any attack up attack plus gear, it's all nerfed.
Well, if you had speed.
Attack speed,
that's all nerfed, and I did, so I want to go in there and see what my character stats are now with DPS, now that they nerf that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna. I don't know. Well, props to Megan, Travis's wife. Apparently, she
she beat Nightmare.
Yeah, by herself, all in solo. That's pretty good. Like, I played mostly Nightmare with people, not because I didn't want to see if I could do it solo, just because I think the game's more fun multiplayer. But
well, yeah, you had that opportunity. You had all those people around your level.
Yeah, exactly. So why the hell not? But
Maybe I'll get lucky and finish Nightmare while you're still in your area of hell.
It's probably possible. Up, so. It's probably possible.
I just hit 49 today.
Oh, dude, I'm only level 51.
Oh, there you go. So I'm not too far. I could probably join you now, right?
Well, you have to beat Nightmare.
Really? To join someone's...
Okay. To join someone in hell, you have to at least have the previous difficulty beat.
Okay.
So once you beat that, you'll be fine. And actually, last time I checked, she was like 3 levels or 4 levels higher than I was. I was like, damn, girl.
Yeah, she's like... She's just going mad on
it. I was checking out her stats and her equipment. I'm like, damn, she's got a good fucking character. I'm like, made me jealous. But,
life is over 10,000 already.
Nice, good shit.
At level 49. Actually, it has been for a few levels now, actually, so...
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's work. It's I'm enjoying it. The more I play this, the more I realize that I'm probably gonna enjoy Torchlight 2.
Yeah, so probably.
I'm not gonna say that it's gonna be better or worse than Diablo 3, but
yeah.
I know that I'm gonna enjoy it now.
Are you waiting for Torchlight 2 to come out on consoles, or are you gonna buy it on PC?
No, I'm gonna buy. I don't think it's coming to consoles. They've actually said that. Yeah. Well, they haven't really said anything.
They're not gonna say that because they're not gonna want anyone to wait on it. Right?
That's true. So, that's true. Yeah. But I'll probably get it on PC.
It sold so well on Xbox Live, I'm pretty sure it's going to come out on consoles.
Actually, they're doing that 4-pack thing, so if there's a few listeners out there that are interested in doing the 4-pack, let me know. I'll jump in on that. You know,
I'll get in on that shit.
Hey, there you go. All right, so two more.
Two more people. Just let us know on Twitters or whatever.
That's right.
That's basically it, besides the other game that we both played was Lollipop Chainsaw. But is there anything you've been playing? Or are you distracting you besides?
Let's see. We already talked about Diablo. I played a little bit more Gravity Rush.
That yet?
I haven't beaten it yet, no. Because honestly, it's been more about... I've still been kind of hooked on Diablo lately. So,
okay.
I've probably put like another hour or so or two into Gravity Rush. And it's an interesting concept because it's like, you know, last week I talked about how it's like this floating city and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to actually go into... you basically go into other realms to retrieve pieces of the city. And you pull these pieces of the city out of the realm and connect them back.
She's pretty fucking strong.
Yeah, right? But what it impresses me that, you know, that they've varied the environments that way because, you know, I expected it to be all like that. You know, the way that the city looks that you see in the screenshots. But like right now, I'm in this area where it's like, it just looks like there's magma and all kinds of shit all over the place. And, you know, it's like you literally can fall into the magma and die if you aren't careful. So
Magma.
But, so yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm hoping to get more into that this week. Which I probably will. And the other game is, Lollipop Chainsaw, which.
Yep.
We both put some time into.
We did.
Before we jump into this,
mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about it, and we were talking about the combat and stuff like this, and you were talking about something that I thought sounded weird because it's something that usually ticks me off too, and is a pet peeve, and that's the ability to cancel out of attacks while you're dodging.
Yeah.
And I was able to do that, so.
Yeah.
You're able to do it, right? It's not like
No, you can't cancel at all.
No, you can. I do it all the time.
How? With the dodge button?
Yeah, I do it mid attack a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
I have not been able, especially when you're doing the pom pom stuff. I'm like, oh crap! Like, it's in the middle of a pom pom attack, and I'm hitting that dodge button. It ain't fucking doing anything until after that animation's done. Then it will do the dodge.
No, I was doing it in the middle of like the heavy chainsaw slashes, which is
chainsaw ones. I think you can kind of do, but the pom pom ones, I'm not sure.
Most of those are really quick anyway, though.
Yeah, they're just quick, but it's still not. I mean, when you something like Ninja Gaiden or Democrat, so like quick and fast, it's like it's really noticeable. I don't know. That's why I don't like the combat's kind of just like, man. It still seems like a mash fest to me. I still feel like I'm just like, all right, I got these combos I'm going to use over and over and over again and whatever. Which, I mean, can be said about a lot of character action games, but the problem with this game, I find, is it doesn't have all the other pluses that a lot of these other character action games that are so great have. So, outside of presentation.
I'm still really enjoying it. Outside of the whole the baseball thing.
Dude, that's the baseball thing can eat a dick. I hated that.
I'll be honest with you, like the second basketball one actually frustrated me a little bit because the blocker
that.
like He just took hits and he would just like knock you out.
Yeah, that's true.
And it boiled down to me just saying, fuck it, and kicking in her overdrive and just kicking everybody's ass. But the baseball thing, I had, we were talking about this on the email thread and, I had the same issues you did. It's like the first couple times, it's like he would get halfway around the bases on the third run. And so for those that haven't played the game, there's like this mini game where,
you have to do it.
And you basically get a chainsaw cannon, basically. And the idea is to shoot the zombies before they get your boyfriend's head on a zombie body. So he can actually run around the bases three times. So you can score three runs and win the game. So that's the idea. Problem is that he stops at every base to cheer like a fucking idiot. Yeah. So it takes
forever. That's not even a problem for me, but.
Yeah. Well, it takes forever. My issues was that it was just taking forever to go around the bases. You have to shoot all the zombies before they get to him. And you have a limited amount of ammunition, but they put a refill.
And it doesn't really get hard till his third run around. That's when it actually kicks it up.
Yeah. It starts throwing the cheerleaders at you and the pitchers come up every time. What I did for that is I planted Juliet like on the spot where that bullet spawns. And I just stayed in first person mode the whole time.
See, I should have done that because I was doing the kind of like Call of Duty quick aim thing. If you hold on the left, snap the left, trigger, it'll lock onto somebody, but it was always locking onto zombies that weren't even close.
Right. The auto aim freaking
it was
sucks.
Terrible.
Yeah, and you know what? That was exactly what I did the first few times that I did it, and that's when I got annoyed and shut it off.
Yeah.
This time I went in there, I planted myself on that bullet, went into first person mode, never left it. And
yeah, I should do that.
I got it the first time through.
I'll do that because this is like my biggest problem was because I tried it twice and the first time, like both times I failed, both on his third runaround. One was like right after first base. Second one was like he's almost at home and gets taken out. And I said, screw this, because the problem is you start off at the beginning of that.
Yeah.
And like you said, he dances around every freaking base and it takes forever. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this again. This is just not fun at all. But I want to hear all of the quips that the characters say. And like Nick, I think, is the best written character.
Nick is pretty awesome. Yeah. He's pretty awesome. I'll tell you one thing. Once you get to the third stage, you're gonna meet probably the most annoying character.
Okay, well, that's kind of.
But
weird. You
try and annoy her and put it in the back of your mind and keep going.
I'm enjoying the game to an extent, but I really don't have a drive to. Like the gameplay isn't hooking me. Like usually, if the gameplay is at least fun, I would do that baseball thing without a problem. There's been times in like Ninja Gaiden or even a God of War and even like Bayonetta where I'd have to do something over and over again, but because the combat was so fun, I didn't really mind. And this, I'm just like, ugh, I don't know why. Like, I like the break that they do these mini games here and there, not because they're good, just because it does kind of break from the monotony that I find the main combat to be. But just these sport mini games so far have been like hitting a brick wall almost in pace.
The first basketball one I thought was fun.
Yeah, that was good. The second one wasn't too bad.
The blocker was annoying.
Yep.
And this baseball one is a pain in the ass. Yeah. So, straight up. One of the mini games that's in the third stage is you get into, like, this giant lawn tractor and just run over zombies. And that doesn't really... It kind of breaks the pace a little bit, but it doesn't really... It's not annoying. I finished the entire third stage without continuing. So, it's easier than... the first two stages, in my opinion. It seems like they're trying to break up the monotony of the combat with these little mini games. And like the first time it worked, and the second time it was like, okay, this is kind of annoying. The third time it pisses you off and you're just glad to get through it. And this one with the lawnmower, it's like, all right, fine. It wasn't like it was super fun or anything. I mean, it is kind of satisfying to see like this group of like 20, 30 zombies and you just pretty much plow through them with this giant lawnmower.
Yeah. But that sounds cool. Sounds fun.
When you have to tear up 300 zombies, going around basically a track, cause that's what it is. It's like they put barrels out and you have to like go around and take out the zombies without hitting the barrels. And it's literally like almost like a go-kart track.
Okay.
That you go around and you go around it like three or four times and you're done. That's it. So. But that said, it's like there's like this really They mix up the environment a little bit in the second part, in the third stage, because you're on a farm and then you're facing like the hippie boss, and she sends you into this like trippy world, and it's, so it gets a little crazy. But, you know, I'm sticking to it because I am enjoying it, where the combat's not as deep as other character action games.
Yeah, it's kind of mindless fun. It's got charm to it.
And if you unlock the right moves, like I have a few moves that I really, really enjoy. It's like there's the one that where she basically somersaults through the air. She
yeah, that's twice, the one I use the most.
And then there's the real heavy chain hit where you do, three of the melee attacks, and then she just basically jumps over and swings the chainsaw. So there's some good moves in there that make it fun to do. And using her dodge helps a lot too, because, you know, if you're close enough to an enemy and you leapfrog over them, and then you can basically cut them in half.
See, that's another one of my complaints though. There's so much fucking button mashing in this game, it drives me nuts. It's like button mash to do any one of the special combos or special moves, like when you do those, like, animations, like you just said. You have to button mash to get up from some knockdowns from enemies. You have to button mash when you go on those springboards that launch you up, or you have to do those, like, certain, like,
the quick time events,
cheerleader things. Yeah, but you have to, like, mash the B to jump up. I'm like, oh, so much mashing B or mashing Y or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like quick time events, but I don't like the ones that's like, boom, keep hitting the button, keep hitting. Like, even that bug me in God of War. Like, every time you kill the Minotaur, it's like, here we go. Mash an X really, really hard.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm lazy, fuckers. One button push should be all it takes.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm still having fun with it, though. So
yeah, I'm gonna I haven't stopped playing it yet, so I just swore a lot at the TV yesterday, that's all.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I'll probably finish up hopefully this week. Have it beat by next weekend, so we'll see. But yeah, that's it. I'm still playing Triple Town like crazy. And Cray plays it a lot, and we're on, we chat about it often. And I just got, like, there's, you know, We talked about it a little bit, and I'm still not sure if you've tried it yet or not, but.
No, I haven't touched it.
You're doing match three, and it creates larger objects, and it starts with grass. Well, it goes from grass all the way up to this large floating castle. And at that
I was gonna point, make a joke and be like something in Final Fantasy, but kind of sounds right.
I was gonna say, you go from grass to bush to tree. Insert pussy joke here.
No.
Bush. And the floating castle is like as far as you can go. And like, that's the last thing. So those, like, stay on the map. And, the game that I'm playing right now, which I've been playing on and off for like a week because it's taken a while, but, I've gotten two of those now, and I'm up over 2 million points. So, it's kind of a milestone for me. I haven't gotten to that point yet. So, but it's fun. It's fun. If you guys haven't tried it yet.
Cool.
Triple Town. It's like Android, iOS, Facebook, Google Plus. It's on all of them.
So. I did actually play, Magic 2013 is free on iOS right now.
Oh, that's
so on like an iPad, but it's free but with microtransactions.
Yeah.
But I don't know when exactly it charges you for whatever, because I managed to play just two of the first early games and like the campaign thing or whatever. And it's a pretty good, like, I wondered why it took so long for them to put a Magic game on iOS, because like 2012 and the first one would have been perfect for it, and it wasn't. I didn't even know it was on there. I just was like, I'm going to check the App Store, because I haven't checked the App Store in forever.
Yeah.
And then I saw it there. I'm like, oh, fucking right, and checked it out, and looks good. It plays pretty decently. It's a little bit slower than on console, because it's just slower to tap stuff to, like, look at cards than to just hold down a trigger. If anyone's who's played the PSN or Xbox Live version, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's fun. It's cool. I'll probably put more playtime into that, because, I mean, it's perfect for a tablet for sure.
Cool. Yeah, I could imagine that working really well on the phone, just because.
No, I don't even think I don't even think you can get it on the phone. Has to be on tablet. To be honest, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just for tablets. Yeah,
that makes sense. That makes sense. Cool. All right, let's move on then.
Yeah, let's talk about some newsers.
Let's do it. There's a lot going on this
week. I'm sorry for saying that, by the way.
Newsers. Okay. Yeah. Let's blitz through a couple of the quicker things. The whole thing with Mass Effect 3, the whole extended cut that they were going to be doing, that's apparently set to hit next week.
I still need to see the shortened cut.
Just YouTube it.
Yeah, no, I'll beat it. I'll beat it.
Well, it doesn't matter, because if you beat it now, if you beat it after next week, you're gonna have the new. Well, I mean, I guess you could deny the download, but you know.
Nah, I'm not gonna do that.
But so that's gonna be hitting next week. So I'll probably be booting up Mass Effect 3 just to see what they added.
Check that out.
Yeah. So
wall of text. Right. Oh, this awesome adventure. They added so much shit, and here it is. And it's like the fucking Star Wars thing is going up there. Like, oh, God.
It'll be an, I'm just waiting for that epilogue. Like, at the end of, what's it called? Oh, man, there's one that I just can't remember the name of it. Anyway. Everyone's seen it. Like, end of movies, and they show epilogues. This person went on to do this.
It's mostly, like, documentaries or, like, stuff that's based on, like, a true story. Like, I just watched, what did I just watch? It just did that. It was like, and so-and-so went on to do this and this and this. Oh, something to do with, oh my God, it's going to bug the hell out of me. I literally just watched it on the weekend. And I was like, it was actually, The Fighter.
Oh, okay.
The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. They did that whole thing at the end.
Okay.
So-and-so, whatever. Anywho.
So yeah, 1.03 came out for Diablo. And, one of the big things that's hitting is that, new users are apparently restricted. And a lot of people thought that it was saying that they had to use the trial version for like 72 hours, but that's not really what it is. Apparently, they're doing this review process right now where you have to be verified in order to have all of the game available to you. So there's like you can't join public games, you can't use the auction house, you can't even drop items for other players at first.
What?
It's like
So but you're like, paying for the game though.
Yeah, this is after you bought the game. So there's like all these restrictions on what the person can do until they go through the review process that they're calling it.
I think that's kind of bullshit. If they're gonna do that, I figure you should be able to download the client and basically play like the trial version till you get to that point. And then they should be like, okay, now you can.
Yeah,
well,
like
that doesn't
verify
make sense either,
the
account then you're still
beforehand.
Yeah, but then you're still even telling people you can't buy our game until this is. It's like, what is this, the NeoGAF, a fucking video game?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like, how are you going to go through this, like, review process after someone bought your game? What happens if they don't pass through your review? I mean, I don't know what they go through, but, it's like, is there a situation where someone would not get through the review process and I guess it'd
probably be some kind of signals. Like, they're probably looking for people who are trying to, like, cheat the system and basically cheat. So, I guess there must be a lot of people doing that. Because I know they did ban a bunch of players, like, a couple weekends ago or a couple weeks ago. Because they figured out they were cheating somehow, or, like, I'm not sure if it was, like, duping items or what they were doing. Or, no, it was, like, people, like, hacking into accounts or whatever. But, yeah, like, what would make it so. I don't know. I think it's stupid. Just fucking let them buy the game. If they fuck up, then monitor that shit.
Well, I think what it is they're trying to. They're trying to tone down the, like, the gold farming thing that's going on.
That kind of thing.
So I kind of appreciate that, but at the same time, this is, you know, I really don't think this is the way to do it.
No, it's not. Especially when you can't play the game offline. Like why? Okay, so what, you're going to ban somebody? At least in other shit, you can still play the game offline if you want to. Single player, like, you know, I can see if people want to take advantage of that online only and just take advantage of other people for money, it's just the real auction house. Yeah, those people probably would just want to stop playing the game anyway, but what happens if you get caught with, like, a duped item? Like, for instance, in Phantasy Star Online, I remember some dude asked me to come into a room. He's like, oh, can you join me in this room here and just stay in here until I get back? I was like, okay. And I didn't realize what he was doing, but he dropped, like, a bunch of shit, and I wasn't a dick. I should have been a dick and just taken it all. But anyway, I came back. He's like, oh, thanks a lot for doing that. Now, here, take all this free shit. You know, all this really cool stuff, and then I went to play PSO, and I had all this cool stuff. Then one day, I went to join a game, and it said, oh, you cannot join this game because you have something that's been duplicated or something, some kind of banned item. And I figured out it was one of my mags or something like that he gave me, and then I was like, shit, so I couldn't use that anymore.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine if that was, like, Diablo or something like that, and they were just like, hey, now you can never play this game again?
Yeah.
Of course, I picked up the wrong game to use that example, because Paystar Online is an online-only game, but...
Yeah, true enough.
Well, you'd only want to play it online, but...
it's not online-only, but...
Yeah,
that's
you could play
it
offline, but you'd never want to play that game offline.
Well, this is what it says. Is for security reasons and to help ensure the integrity of the game and auction house service, players who purchase the game, the digital version of Diablo 3, may have to wait until payment verification is complete before they can access certain game features. So I guess that kind of makes sense.
That happened with a friend of mine, actually.
Did it?
My buddy downloaded it, and he said that he was able to play it, then all of a sudden he wasn't able to play it because they said they didn't verify his payment yet, so then all of a sudden he was able to play it again and not being able to play it. Like, this is a few couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't able to play
it. Maybe it's an ongoing thing that they're trying to figure out. So they, maybe they're just like, if they're still verifying, they're allowing people to play it, but you can't do these things. And it seems like you're capped at level 13 and can't get past Act 1.
Okay, that's not too bad, but it depends on how long it takes them to do this.
Up like to 72 hours is what it says.
Okay, that's not too bad, because, I mean, you can get to level 13 pretty quickly, but you can do it in a night easily.
Like, yeah, I mean, I just think that Blizzard is big enough, they've made enough money off of this game, just let them play it, and if it comes back unverified, then shut it
off. Then do it, exactly.
You know, it's like, it's not that, I don't understand why you would go through these lengths to make it, make sure you don't get gypped $50, you know?
Nope.
I think it's overboard.
Well, on the plus side of this patch, they did lower they lowered the gem making prices by a lot. Same with the crafting.
Yeah, a ton. It's like the first going from chipped to flawed was like 500 gold. Now it's like 20.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
like
that's
a
huge
drop. And they added more drops now in like in Hell and Inferno, and they dropped the difficulty in Inferno. Like the enemies don't do as much damage and stuff like that. So
yeah, but they beefed up the bosses a little bit.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But they nerfed the attack speed, which if you're a what's it called, like me, a demon hunter, if you're attack speed for any class is huge to your DPS.
So I was level 46 or so, let's say. And my DPS was at about 2,800.
Okay.
And after the patch, it was at 2,300.
Oh wow.
So it was quite the drop.
That is quite the drop. I'm actually going to check mine right now, actually, as you begin to mention the next news item you have on there.
Cool. Well, hey, we kind of we talked about this a little bit offline. So Okami HD is coming out. This is making me very happy that I didn't get the Wii version, because I have the PS2 version, and you know, I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll get this, maybe I won't, you know, because I always played like Okami. I tried to play it twice. And each time I got like an hour and a half, 2 hours in, and I stopped. Well, I saw there's a video out there on YouTube. There's the first trailer where it actually compares the PS2 to the PS3 version, and it is pretty stunning how much difference.
No, it's very, there's a pretty big difference.
But Jeff and I both agree that we think they muddied up the PS2 version a little bit.
They might have, because looking at that video, I was like, I don't remember it looking this muddy. I remember playing that game, being like, this is one of the most beautiful games I've played.
Right.
And we even talked about it. We said, okay, it could be just like blinders, like rose-tinted glasses. But that wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
It was really like the last couple years ago?
It was like the last 1 or 2 years of the PS2 life cycle.
Yeah, it was like right before the PS3 was released, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Like really close
to that. It was just before 360 launched, I believe.
I almost want to say it was after.
Really?
Yeah, you could be right, yeah.
I have to look it up. But apparently it's going to be on PSN. It's going to be $20.
Yeah.
And you are going to have the option of either
and
using the controller or
Move.
Don't
use Move for it.
No?
The controller works fine for it.
I think so.
I can't see the Move working really well with it, really, to be honest. I guess it kind of would.
Really well for like when you're using the Celestial Brush. But outside of that, it's like, I don't want to play that game with Move. You know, I would much rather use a controller. So
yeah, for sure.
I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Word.
All right. Let's. Why don't we hit before we do the last one? Why don't we hit your item?
Oh yeah. Well, Seth Killian. People who play a lot of fighters don't know who he is. He's kind of representative at Capcom. He promoted all the fighting games. Basically, he left Capcom.
Yeah,
this past
week. Kind of a shocker.
It's kind of huge, actually, because he wasn't necessarily involved in the actual development of the games. He wasn't like a coder or a programmer, but he was like the face of the fighting games.
Yeah, he was like the link to the community.
Pretty much. And he was a big promoter of the community, like of the fighting game community. And I don't want to say he got it to the mainstream, but he got as close as he could to it. He would always be at the media events. He'd always be like tournaments like Evo and stuff like that, like pushing the hell out of these games. Like, If you saw any kind of promotion thing on any one of the Capcom fighters, you likely saw Seth Killian at some point. He's always there. He's decent at fighters. He knows what he's talking about, so he probably had some input when these games were being developed. But who knows how much that input gets through to Capcom in terms of actually how the games turn out. In terms of promotion, he's by far one of the best in the business for that kind of thing. And him leaving, I don't know what that's going to do to Capcom fighters, actually. I don't know how they can pull some, because he was well-respected in the fighting game community.
Yeah, he's got a reputation that's going to be really hard to replace. I mean,
for sure.
Those are some huge-ass shoes to fill.
Yep.
You know, yep. I mean, it's, they're going to have to, Capcom's got to find someone who's recognized in that community and mm-hmm. then build him up from there as well, because Seth Killian was, you know, he was that known in that community. And so
the funny part is, like, I didn't, right when I heard this, I thought of a certain person in the fighting game community that I think wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be terrible for the job. I think it'd be okay. Actually, I think it'd actually be pretty good. But,
Jason's already got a job, buddy.
Yeah, Jason. But, and also this person, he's a fighting game player. He doesn't really do too well at tournaments, but he does promote the hell out of it. And that's, Gutex, Ryan Gutierrez.
Yeah.
I think, I think that's something that's right up his alley. And if he did it right, he could kind of do a comparable job, but I don't know. Who knows? Like, I can't think of anyone else that would actually be kind of decent.
Yeah, because he does a lot of promoting in his area,
God, yeah,
too.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like even when Jason and I went out there for E3, he had this, mm-hmm. this big like fight night thing going on at one of the bars, yep. and we went and hung out. So yeah, it's
we had him on our show like back when Street Fighter 4 released. Yeah. Like he was all about like the community needs to get bigger, and at this time it was way smaller than it is now. And he was the one guy in the fighting game community who was really trying to promote it. Do all the shit, and Seth was the guy who was in the industry promoting it from the from the inside outside kind of thing. So it was kind of I think it would be a good opportunity for him. So Gutex, I know you're listening to this, probably not, but you should at least try to get that job.
If I was him, I would put in for
Why
it.
Not?
I put in that for it. Okay. So really quick before I'm going to mention one more thing because I totally forgot to mention this before we started. But so Microsoft. Kind of dropped a tablet.
Oh yeah,
tablet. Did you see that?
What's it called? Smart
Surface.
No, Surface.
Surface.
That's it, yeah.
I gotta admit,
I was thinking smart glasses.
It's kind of sexy, but it's gonna be expensive.
I'm sure it is.
So,
probably. It's Microsoft. It's not gonna be cheap.
Right. They said there's gonna be two different versions. One that's gonna be like a straight up like mobile tablet, like you expect with like iPad and other Android 10 inch mm-hmm. tablets. It's gonna run with the. I think they said it's gonna run the Tegra 3, and it's gonna have a mobile version of Windows 8, which means that a lot of the applications that you get on Windows have to be redone in order for them to run on this. On this operating system. And they said that one was going to be in the same price range as other 10-inch tablets. So
basically
$600, iPad. That kind of thing.
Yeah, they're basically going like it's going to be comparable to the iPad.
Right. And they're saying it's in 32 and 64-bit flavors, and the 32-bit iPad is $600. So that's where getting that.
Okay, gotcha.
They also said they're going to have an Intel version that's going to run Windows 8 proper. And they actually said that was going to be comparable to Ultrabooks, which are in the thousands. They're like, well, I'm not going to say in the thousands, but they're like 1,000+ for a good one.
Okay.
And considering the form factor of this thing and the technology behind even the cover, like the keyboard cover they've got, I would expect it to be over $1,000 for this thing. So, but I will admit that if I was in the market for something like that.
If you had the money.
Yeah. If I was in the market for something that, for an Ultrabook, I'll say that. If I was in the market for an Ultrabook, I would definitely check out the Surface because it is kind of sexy.
Yeah.
But, all right. So this kind of blindsided me. And that's, what you hinted at earlier today. Earlier in the show.
Yeah.
With Nintendo announcing the 3DS XL.
Mm-hmm.
For
that blindsided you? That was kind of like a rumor going on a couple weeks before E3.
I must have missed that rumor altogether because
really? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about this, and all of a sudden I'm seeing. I think I jumped on Twitter and I saw something from MC Wilson that said, "Oh, finally, you know, 3DS, I'll buy."
Battery,
and I'm like,
yeah.
"That was the first I had heard of it," and I'm like, "What?" And I went looking, and I was like, "Oh, look at that! They're making a 3DS that has a much larger screen, and they're pricing it for less than what." People could originally buy the original one for. So I was kind of surprised by that. And then there's no second stick.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
I'm not either, but
I don't think they're ever going to put another stick on it.
No, I really wish they would.
They should have had it at the beginning. It's going to segment the market too much. It's going to be like, they have to figure out what percentage of people have the stick, what people don't. Then developers are going to be like, well, do we program for the second stick? We don't know if it's going to be worth it because how many people are going to have it.
Well,
are we going to make a game that only uses it because then that splits our market down to only this much versus this much?
There's a lot of lowest common denominator development out there right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens a lot. So it's not necessarily different for something like this. You know, it's building another control option in, one that is... You know, it's particularly common among games. So it's like, it's things that would, you know, if you were, let's say you're porting something over to 3DS, you know, for argument's sake, Metal Gear Solid 3, you're porting this over. Well, the control scheme for the double, for the dual sticks is already there. You're programming the lowest common denominator, which is there, which is the new stuff of one stick. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, it's not like program, it's not like developing a game to the lowest common denominator is a new thing.
No, no, that's not. But I mean, I'm talking about like, I don't know how easy it is to program another stick. If it's really easy, then it shouldn't be an issue. They should just throw it on there. But if it, you know, it's, I don't know. It's still a lot of things for people to think of that. From a business standpoint, it doesn't make sense to just add another one on there at this early in the life cycle anyway.
See, that, and that's where I'm different because I think this is the perfect time to do it because it's still early and the people that have the original have the option of the CirclePad Pro.
Buying it. Yeah.
You know, and we've already seen that bundled in with things like Monster Hunter in Japan. So, you know, that's an option. And then there's, you know, if they want to put the stick on the XL, then you do that. And then whenever someone buys a game that supports the CirclePad Pro, put in a voucher for the CirclePad Pro or like a 50% off discount or something like that so that they can go out and get it for $10 and then they're right there with everybody else, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I know, but I'm just saying, I'm just giving my reason why I think they didn't.
Oh, no, I agree. I think that. So that they didn't want to segment their market, but I mean, I guess my point is that I think they would have been better off doing it.
Oh, for sure. I think it needs it. Oh, that's a story backtracking, but there was another game I played. I played the Kingdom Hearts 3D demo.
Oh yeah, how was that?
I'm sorry, Navishin, I really am, but I don't see the draw at all in the game. I think the game plays very, very basic. At least this is the going by the demo, which, by the way, was pretty damn short. I didn't really see any Disney characters at all either, which kind of disappointed me.
No, that's weird.
But the gameplay seemed very simple, and it just seemed kind of, like, clunky, but I could go down to the 3DS using the triggers to move the camera and stuff like that. And I don't know, it just seemed very basic. The dialogue and stuff was very... I would say it seemed like...
Childish?
Yeah, I'd say childish, which, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised at that because look at the audience and the market that's going for. But the thing is, I love Disney, so yeah, it doesn't have to be like that. The thing is, like, you can be, like, Disney movies, I love Disney movies so much. And the reason why is because even though they're marketed towards kids, there's a lot of adult humor and adult issues that they deal with that kids just don't get, adults will. But the kids just laugh and stuff that's going on screen. They look at the pretty colors like that, right? And this game didn't really have that. And it reminded me of like a Final Fantasy Light. Like even the main character, I can't remember what his name is. He does that same, you know, that pose that Final Fantasy characters do, especially the younger ones since Final Fantasy like 10 do, or like maybe it might have been 12. I can't remember where they put their hand on their head and they kind of lean back. I don't like both arms on their the hands in their head.
Oh yeah,
with their elbows up and like hey, blah, and they do their dialogue. But I didn't get it. But then I talked to some people about it today. I know Retroids. They're like, honestly, if you're gonna play Kingdom Hearts games, just play 1 and 2. But those are the two that are actually like really good. Like the other ones are they're decent. But if you're gonna your first one you want to play is probably one of those two.
I heard the PSP one was good.
Actually, I heard that one's probably like basically the third best. But either way, I was not impressed at all, and I was kind of excited to play it. But we'll see. I'm gonna play through the demo again because I'm not sure if I just rushed through it, but it ended pretty quick, and it is just a demo, so who knows? And I played Rayman Origins, which I had no idea was coming to 3DS.
Oh, it did come to 3DS?
It's the demo's on 3DS, so I downloaded the demo.
Okay.
And it's Rayman Origins. It feels a little bit less responsive on the controls, and they added in a bunch of 3D, like, flying things, like these little kind of, like, I want to say, like, not fairies, but, you know, those little, like, things with balls
like
with wings.
Or something?
Yeah, like sprites kind of things, like, everywhere on the screen, which, when I had the 3D on, was kind of more distracting than anything.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it's kind of hard to see shit that you're trying to do, but, it was Rayman Origins, if you liked the game. It played kind of decently, it seemed a little bit slower to me. It looked really good.
Yeah?
Definitely looked really good, yeah, for sure.
Good.
Sorry for rewinding back about 20 minutes. But
no, that's fine.
I totally forgot about that.
We're pretty short on time right now, but no, I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about this, but I mean, I'm not going to buy one.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's just another reason for me to kick myself for buying the 3DS in the first place. So Because I would probably...
I got you. I we all kind of early adopted too early on that one.
Yeah, I probably would have rather had this, to be honest with you. So, but...
Me too. Less portable, but it's got all the other shit that we want. Yeah. Long battery life and a bigger screen.
And you know, hopefully it's more comfortable, because that's the big thing for me.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The 3DS is extremely uncomfortable.
Same here.
So, I mean, it's the most...
Go ahead.
Playing the Vita compared to playing the 3DS, it's like two completely different worlds.
Yeah.
Because the Vita is so comfortable and it fits really well in your hands. And the 3DS is just like square and small and awkward.
Heavy. And I actually think the 3DS is the most uncomfortable handheld I have ever played.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Like even back to the
old school Game Gear days and shit like that. Yeah.
Cool. Yep. That is all the news I have. Yeah. Anything else you want to throw in?
No, let's go on a break and get on with the feature.
We'll do that. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about graphic fidelity and if we would rather, if we wouldn't mind seeing the graphics come down a little bit to keep some of these talented developers in business. And then after that, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. We'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
Gretchens would like to publicly thank our many sponsors, kind and caring souls such as, nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
And welcome back.
Thank you,
thanks.
Hey, Travis is with us.
He is back.
I'm here.
Hey, welcome. Glad you could join us.
Yay.
Finally get out of the office?
Yes, office, got out of
quote,
the office.
Office.
The quote-unquote office, yeah. Oh, man, dude, I'm having a great night. I know the intros were, an hour ago, but you ever have one of those days where, like, it was just an okay, because all day today, I had to work like a double, so it was an okay day. It wasn't bad, it wasn't good, it was just a day. But you ever, like, come home to something that you forgot, that something awesome was there, and you're like, oh, that makes my night.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I pulled open the fridge, so I wanted like a little snack, maybe a handful of like some turkey or something from the deli, just something to hold me over. And I looked in there, and there were two slices of DiGiorno pizza left over.
Nice.
That I had completely forgotten about. And I'm serious, that made my
night. Made your night.
Made my night.
Well,
like, oh my
last week we did determine that you're pretty easy to please. So.
I was like, bonus pizza. What the hell? So I decided to celebrate. I don't know if you guys Indus barred earlier today.
No, we did not.
While, but I went ahead and opened up this 10-year-old whiskey
that
my sister-in-law got from Scotland. And, ooh, warms the cockles.
I'm sure it does. Drink
it
straight?
I had to celebrate for finding the bonus pizza, so.
Obviously.
Obviously, of course.
Duh.
Oh, that's some strong shit, dude. It's like gasoline.
Oh, I'm sure. Are you drinking it straight?
Mm-hmm. Neat, son. Two fingers.
Only two on a recording night?
This is some strong shit, dude. I never drink this stuff. So, oof. So anyway, I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys for allowing me to come.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, usually we just kick your ass off for the whole show.
Yeah.
That's cool. No, we need someone to read emails. I mean,
somebody's got to do it, right?
Exactly.
And we hate doing it, so we gotta pass that shit to you.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
So
he's kidding, by the way. We don't really hate it.
So tonight we are talking about graphic fidelity, and if we wouldn't mind it coming back a step, if we'd keep some more talented developers that have been, you know, going by the wayside, in business making games, that kind of thing. So Travis, take it away, dude.
All right, first one comes from B Wrong. He says, "Hey,
what's up?
Back for more, guys. If it means to save time and money for developers, then the definite answer is yes. There's no point in spending millions just to make a game pretty on the eyes if they won't be able to make at least more than half of what they spent. I'd rather have them focus on creative gameplay rather than making a game pretty. Not much to say here. Hey, Jeff, quick one. Heat or Thunder?"
Oh, fucking Thunder, but the Heat already won.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's all I want to say about that. I will say, though, I thought it was going to be way disappointing watching, because yesterday was Game 5 for people who aren't basketball fans in the finals. The Heat were up 3-1, and they ended up winning the championship. And I thought I was going to be really pissed, but surprisingly I wasn't. When they won and everyone's hugging each other and shit, I was like, you know what, fuck it, these guys deserve it. They went through a lot of fucking shit, and
yeah,
they got their championship. Durant and gang will be back again, for sure. I do believe, give them a couple more years, they're a much better team than the Heat are. They just needed the experience, but yeah. The Heat won, so good on them. Still hate Chris Bosh, but good on them.
There's a lot of hate for the Heat. I don't keep up, but
yeah.
You know.
It's, yeah. Probably one of the most hated teams in sports over the last while.
When
the Saints, right?
Yeah.
And now,
teams,
anyway. Yeah.
When teams like stack up, like the Yankees are easy to hate.
Exactly.
It's the best team. It's literally the best team money can buy. Like, so.
Yeah, literally.
So that's, they're easy to hate because of the fact that because
they have a $250 million budget
money to spend. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the cap, because the cap starts this year. So
baseball?
For baseball, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Did they actually put it starts this year? Yeah.
I might actually start watching baseball again.
It's gonna be interesting. Yeah. I could be wrong on it, but I read that like 2 days ago. I was like, oh. Okay. Well, anyway.
So now we've moved on to the sports podcast. saving money for saving money on graphics. Yes, please. I think we're all on board with this.
I don't know if I'm on board with that. I'll get into it when I do our final thoughts. But
I thought I was going to be the only one. But yeah. let's move on.
All right. Cool.
Let's move on. This one comes from David Elton, aka the current IndusFest champ.
For the final level, Adventurine.
Yeah. He says, the year was 1985, and bacon was just $1.65 per pound. I was in the back of a 1976 Plymouth Duster that was being driven by a first-time driver, my brother.
Oh, God.
I didn't mind the car jerking and short-stopping because I was infatuated with the box art for the two new games my mom picked up for me.
Oh, nice.
Mail Order Monsters and Legacy of the Ancients.
Mail Order Monsters.
Wow.
Once I got home, I fired up my Commodore 64 and Mail Order Monsters. The load times took forever. The joystick had just one button. The music was nothing more than beeps and boops, and the graphics were blocky and crude. Beep, beep, beep. But I was hooked. Games nowadays are jaw-droppingly beautiful, but I still pine for the days when I could be infatuated with a game as much as I was back then. Haven't played the quintessential text-based RPGs like Zork, Leather Goddess of Phobos, and various MUDs, Mushes, and Moos. I've always been a big fan of plot and character development. If games were to invest more in those and less on graphics, I would be fine with that. Games development has come a long way. There is a positive and negative to that. On the plus side, we get games like Mass Effect that display awesome graphics and good writing. On the downside, those games cost a shit ton to make, so the barriers to entry have risen, and it is unlikely that we will see some studios make it, especially with the way the business is going. We all know that THQ is in trouble, and now Sega is trying to hold on for dear life. This was very evident at E3 this year.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Companies like Disney, Ubisoft, Capcom, hell, even Gree had humongous booths. What is Gree?
I don't know.
That may be a typo or something. I don't know.
Probably EA, maybe?
Maybe.
No, I don't know.
But these guys had humongous booths that probably ran them in the millions with multiple gigantic monitors, lights, speakers, statues, and booth babes, while smaller developers like Plastic Piranha had tiny booths with 5 PCs running their game and a banner. Why is this? Now, because video games are now huge business. That dorky chess club preteen in the back of the Duster is no longer their target audience. They're now selling to the masses, and the masses want to be stimulated with particle effects, killer frame rates, sorry Jeff, and physics modeling. Not character development. And if you think this is so, then when is the last time you skipped a cutscene to get back to the game? That's my 2 cents, what grinds my gears, whatever. Adventure.
Thanks, Adventure.
Gree is a leading mobile social gaming network worldwide with a reach of over 140 million users.
That's pretty big. They do okay. Yeah.
they're in okay shape.
I think the main topic from Dave's email is it's about budgets, right?
Yeah.
Some guys, some developers are fortunate, blessed even in this economy,
have big budgets.
To have those big budgets. You know, your Uncharted, your Mass Effects, your Gears of War, those publishers are just
they have huge publishers, exactly. Huge you got publishers. Sony, Microsoft, and EA back in all those.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Call of Duty, Madden. You know, yeah. they can cope with things like that. I think it's your Ubisoft published games and your recently THQ. These are the guys that they have an okay budget, but they are limited.
I think their problem is marketing, though. I wouldn't say it's not on the presentation graphics side of things, because there's not, like, Sega's mistakes aren't coming from they put too much money into graphics and presentation.
No, Sega's
sure.
mistakes are just because they're stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, Anarchy Reigns just got delayed to 2013. The game's done. This is the perfect time. Just put the fucking game out, make some money.
Yeah.
Just saying.
There is no perfect time because no one wants that game.
Yeah. I want that game. I think it looks fun.
That's the one platinum game I look at. I'm just like, I don't know. For some reason, I look at videos. I'm like, I don't see the pull for this one. It's the first time ever for a platinum game.
Well, GameStop had it up for like $30. So you wouldn't get it for $30?
For $30, I'd probably get it. Yeah. I mean, I bought Lollipop Chainsaw for $40. I'm pretty sure I'd buy a platinum game for $30.
Yeah, there you go. But, no, I mean, honestly, there's nothing coming out until Darksiders. So, it's like, this would be a perfect time.
Darksiders could be THQ's last game.
I know.
And there
was rumors saying that it was going to be dropped and not shipped. But that's not going to happen. It was just,
better
like, rumors.
Not.
But, yeah.
It better. And especially with all, like, the promotion they're doing. And
yeah,
stuff
exactly.
Like that.
And I follow those guys on Twitter, and there's no hint that they're not being released. It's being advertised on the Xbox dashboard and stuff.
I'll tell you what. If THQ all of a sudden died... Someone else would pick up Darksiders.
Oh, someone would pick that up for sure.
Someone would 100%. Pick up Darksiders. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so here's what I'm gathering, and this is kind of how I feel about it, too. You know, big budget stuff is fine if the company can afford it, but this is about pulling back that graphic fidelity for the studios that can't afford it. Is it okay with us?
That's one of the
for
big
the studios
things.
That can't afford it, and I am fine with that because I'll be honest with you, I am dying. I'm not dying inside, but it kills me every time I see something about Kurt Schilling and 38 Studios.
And 38 Studios,
you know, it's like I know that has nothing to do with like the graphic fidelity of their game or whatever.
But do we talk about this off the air? Or do we talk about this on the air when we talked about 38 Studios before?
I think we were on the air.
I think we might have mentioned it on a previous show, but
no. I mean, like today. I mean, today, like me and you,
we
kind of
spoke about it a little bit on the air. Yes,
it was on the air.
Yeah.
Okay. But, I couldn't remember if it was on the air or off the air.
Yeah, it was during introductions. I think.
No, actually, it was off the air because we were talking about the news, and you said you were getting it because you're looking through saying that every time I look at news, I can't not see something about 38 Studios.
Oh, that's true.
And we were saying how part of it. They're in a different kind of situation because some of it's kind of like their fault. They kind of went right for the... Oh, we did talk about it on the air. I think we did. Yes, we did.
See,
I am dumb.
I don't even know because I don't think it's all their fault at all. I think it's Rhode Island's governor's fault.
Of course.
Because he opened his big fucking mouth and they lost a publisher.
Yeah.
So, you know...
So, but here's the deal. Are we... My question, this is the thing I've been wanting to ask all week. Have we been seeing any companies doing this? Like saying, you know, let's pull back the graphics and let's work on gameplay.
Oh, I think so.
I'd say a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that's more of like a stylistic like type out the Lollipop Chainsaw.
Anything that that game company makes.
That game company, Pixel Junk. Is
Pixel
that
Junk?
Game company? No.
No, it's
well, those
no, that's...
games. But you got to understand, like, they're not... Those Pixel
Retail
Junk
games.
Yeah. I mean, but still, those Pixel Junk games, they're... They're indie games, basically. I mean,
Rayman,
they're...
or actually, no, Rayman's pretty.
No,
gorgeous,
Rayman looks pretty fucking gorgeous, man.
Yeah, but more or less on like the 3D scale and everything, things that we see, like, you know.
I would say Lollipop Chainsaw is one of them. I would say, what was Suda51's last game? It was the
Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah, that's one. So I mean, that was a good game that they scaled it back. You
but that still sold like crap, though.
Well, that's not because of the graphics,
though.
Yeah, exactly.
That goes back to marketing.
But that's kind of, but the point is, like, would you, like, if it was a guarantee, if these developers, publishers didn't put so much money into presentation and graphics, would you substitute the two? Like, I didn't want to get this conversation to be like,
okay,
of course no one wants to see these devs close down and wants to see games look like shit or wants to see...
I think it all depends on how you execute it.
Okay.
And that's the big thing.
Exactly.
It's like, I mean, all of us love fucking Super Meat Boy. right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all in the execution. It's the type of game that you're making. You know, there are a lot of ways that you can make a lower fidelity graphic game and make it something that it makes sense to be like that. And it's going to work. Or if it's stylized like something like Okami that we were talking about before. Okami did not have the highest polygon count. But you know what? It was fucking beautiful anyway.
Yeah. Then let me ask you this question then. Yeah. Would you rather have games like Super Meat Boy or games like a Lollipop Chainsaw type, like fidelity in terms of looks and presentation and sound, and give up Uncharted?
Would I give up Uncharted?
No. Yeah, because basically,
but I wouldn't give up Lollipop Chainsaw either.
Well, no, but that's the whole point of this question, though. If you had a choice, no more. Put it this way, make it a little bit easier. Keep graphics and presentation at this generation, so the next generation of consoles, there wouldn't be a point to them, will not have any graphical improvements at all. But game prices will not go up for developers, like development and stuff like that. That was the whole thing. I wanted it to be tough. Be like, you're basically saying no more improvements to graphics and presentation, all that kind of stuff, but cost of gaming will go down for the developers, therefore they get more of a profit. But that's how I should have worded it last
week. It depends on the game, though.
Depend on the game. It's a simple question.
Let's go back to Uncharted. If you were to tell me, okay, we're going to keep Uncharted 2. We're going to make Uncharted 2, but we're going to keep the graphic fidelity around Uncharted 1, but we're going to really focus on that gameplay, I'd be all about it.
That's not the question, though. The question, let's rephrase it now. Next generation will have no improvements to graphics, presentation, or anything like that. But it'll be cheaper on developers to make games.
I'd be all about it, because I think games look great now. So if they don't improve it, I'm okay with that. Make the games run better? Yeah, do it.
Not run better.
But just save money? Yeah.
There'd be absolutely...
Okay. As long as you're still making games that are fun, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I of course I want the games to look good, but I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think games look great now. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say we go with what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that we're making games cheaper for the developers to make, but the graphic fidelity is going to be no better than we've seen in this generation. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. This generation means, after we saw 7E3, like Watch Dogs and Star Wars, like 13, that stuff will not exist.
Well, that's not may generation. Or may not be true. It could be
No. In terms of my question, that is not going to exist. In terms of how we saw them, that will not exist.
Okay, I personally, I'm all for it if it'll help these developers create more and hopefully better games. Okay, as long as they're still making good stuff, I'm fine with that.
The thing that I was getting at before we kind of tangent, but. So the max is going to be what it is today. Is that what Jeff is saying?
I was saying that to make it like an easy way of putting it, yeah.
Then I would be okay with that, because that means the developers that can't get the graphics up to what it is today will in the next generation. So as opposed to having games with much, much better visual fidelity, we're going to have a more consistent set of games that all
that look
better. Yeah.
He shoots the scores.
But you'll never get that upgrade, though, so the next year will not look. I mean, that was the whole thing about, that was the whole thing. If you had to sacrifice one or the other, it's like the whole like killing or like getting rid of your favorite child, like one of your children. It's like, that's the thing. It's not like in this generation or next generation. It's just how many times do we, and on gamers in general, talk about how good something looks and how, like, would God of War 3 would have been as good if it looked like if it had PS2 graphics?
It's hard to say.
I would say no. You wouldn't have those big, gigantic fights with, like, what's it called? Kronos and all that stuff.
Wouldn't have a stage of a Titan.
No. Would Heavy Rain be possible if it was locked up in PS2 era?
No.
Exactly.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
The graphics thing is going to change.
But that's not the question, though, Travis. That's not the thing.
Okay. I'm really hating this conversation now.
You're not getting it. That's the thing. It's not going to change, because hardware has limitations, so you cannot go past certain limitation. So the whole point of this question was to bring up a sacrifice. You're sacrificing one thing for another. It wasn't going to be a theory thing, eventually the graphics will get better, because that's not what the whole point of this was at all.
And I'm agreeing with you agreeing with Chris, at least, that if that sacrifice was made, I would like be okay with it if they made better games. Developers can stay in business longer. It can keep our frame rate up higher and everything. And people who are lower can lower in the graphics department can catch up. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But every time I try to say something, it's like, fuck, you don't get it, Travis. What the fuck?
So well, that one you didn't get because
you said it. Thing. I don't want to get into the speculation of, well, you know what? Let's say yes, 1313 doesn't count. Beyond is never going to come
well,
out.
Well, no, because it wouldn't.
It's a stupid conversation.
It's not, because that's the whole point, Travis. It was the whole point of the conversation.
Of course the limitations are going to rise. Let's not have the conversation about what would you do if it didn't? Would you be okay with that? Let's just.
That's exactly what the question of the week is, Travis. That's exactly what it was. Would you sacrifice graphical fidelity and presentation?
The question of the week wasn't, hey, guys, write into us and tell us how you feel if 1313 never came out.
No. I use that as an example of if there was going to be no other generation of next generation consoles, those games would not be what they are, what we saw them at E3, because they wouldn't be in the context of what we're discussing today in the future. They would not look like that.
Then if
they would be
the
stuck
case,
in this generation for like 360 PS3 graphics, and that's it.
Okay.
So and how, what were the case, what, why were people talking about those games so much?
If that's
because
the case,
they looked
put me
amazing.
In the graphics horror slot. Then, if that's
exactly, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like you gotta. That was the whole point. I wanted a question that wasn't gonna have a fence sitting because I made it so you can't have fence sitting. It's gotta be one or the other.
But see, I don't think it's a fair question. Then
it's not a fair question. That's my point.
Well, why does that have to be fair?
Here's my stance. THQ, eat a dick. Give me more Uncharted.
No, but you're basically making it sound like, okay, so the next generation of consoles is going to be the same as this generation of consoles, and then no consoles are ever going to come out again.
That's exactly the point question. Because the reason why video games
are going to die.
No, because that's, okay, perfect thing you said that, Chris. Why would video games die? Because you're saying that you need to have these graphical fidelities.
Because everything else around us is going to advance, Jeff, but not everything is going to stay stagnant like video games.
No, I know.
That's what I mean.
But people, okay, these developers that are going out of business, right? Because the development costs are really, really high.
Because they're trying to keep up with Uncharted.
But Uncharted wouldn't be, it's not like I'm saying one franchise would be evolving, the other ones wouldn't. I'm saying everything would stay on a certain level. They wouldn't surpass that level. So there wouldn't be a worry for that. So you just proved my point. You're saying that, like, the industry is driven by advancements in these things. And all these developers being like, some of them being shut down, whatever, they're putting too much money, they're not making their money back. Right? So the whole question was, it's hypothetical because it's not going to happen, obviously. But as gamers, are you willing for that, like, to screw the whole advancement in technology, so to speak, to keep these games being developed the way they are now, like, without developers having to worry about, well, we're going to put this much money in because this is how much the tech has gone up, this much money we have to spend, but if we don't sell now 2 million instead of 1 million, we're going to go out of business.
Well, okay, so here's my issue, and I get what you're saying, and I understand that you're trying to make this a very, very difficult thing to be on the fence with, and I am not on the fence with it. I mean, if it was, you know, down to video games staying where they are for the rest of my life and my son's life, then no, of course not. Mm-hmm. But that's I don't think that's getting the point across. I think that's kind of too black and white. And my point is that if I had to say sacrifice a generation of consoles where everything would still look like this generation of consoles, but everything would be easier to develop for so that a lot of the smaller developers can get up to speed. And then, so we would have 7 more years of games looking like they do now. At their best. I would be okay with that because then the following generation is going to be what this next one would have been, and it's going to be easier for developers to develop. So
true.
That's the thing. It's like as technology progresses. So the question, my interpretation of the question was, would I sacrifice it, in order for these developers to keep making games? As long as, you know, advancements are still going to happen.
The whole point was that advancements wouldn't happen. It was the whole thing like, your next console isn't going to be like, holy crap, these graphics are amazing, but it's going to just be like, oh, well, this developer's game didn't sell too much, but you know what, we don't have to worry about it because they didn't have to put so much money into it to make all these graphics, put all these details in and all these new, like, special effects that take work to do and all these resources wouldn't happen. That was the point. They wanted it to be a hard question. That was the whole idea. Because I think I'm like, well, fuck, I don't know what I'd do. Because to be honest, I like getting that new console and being like, shit, this looks good. Looks amazing.
Everyone does. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, try and deny that at all. But, I mean, it's scary black and white when you put it that way. It's like,
no,
games are never going to look better.
That was totally intentional.
And game consoles are never going to advance technically. So when we're watching holographic fucking TV, then our video game consoles are still going to be
I want to keep it just in video games. Like, again, it's hypothetical. So when you're speaking hypothetical, we're not going to think of, like, everything else that's outside of that vacuum going up. It's just, like, a hypothetical question. That wouldn't even come into play. But that's what I wanted to do, because it caused for debate. It's actually actual sacrifice.
All right,
instead
so
of being like,
I'm going to turn it around on you then.
Yeah.
Would you sacrifice one full generation of consoles in order to get smaller developers the ability to get up to where Uncharted 3 level is right now?
Depends what you're talking about. Like, developers that actually want to get to that level, are you talking about stuff like that's just downloadable games that they actually want to be like that?
No, I'm saying that a lot of these studios, like what we're talking about, like the studios that are trying to put in than they can.
Like 38 studios and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
would you sacrifice a generation of consoles?
I don't, that's the same question I'm asking, and I don't really know. That's pretty much the exact same thing.
You're answering that guy.
I'm gonna answer it, Travis. Jesus, you know, why the hell did you come back on here? Seriously. But, I'm ready now for a new generation of consoles. I am ready for it. Bring it on. After seeing that shit at E3.
I cannot agree with
it's
that.
It's like.
At all.
Well, I mean, I want to see the games that I saw at E3 on consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So, to that extent, I would say that I'm ready for new consoles. But, I am not. I would not be against going another year or two on what. Because I mean,
it's going to happen for another year for sure.
But I mean, I guess my point is that, you know, it's that question is always going to go towards the, well, yes, I want my increased fidelity, whereas the way I turned it around doesn't always go that way.
Well, would just like TH, well, like, what's it called? Who makes fucking Darksiders?
Vigil.
Vigil, yeah, Vigil. Vigil. So, like, I would want to see them close down. Hell no. Like, if, I don't know what's going to happen, because THQ's, they're going under. Like, I don't know if someone's going to pick up Vigil or not. Like, it does look
someone
like.
Someone will pick up Vigil.
This could be their last game. And of course, like, that game is so freaking good. But I don't know if I'd be like, oh, I would sacrifice games like Star Wars 1313, Watch Dogs, whatever the next Uncharted is going to look like, whatever the next God of War is going to be like, all that stuff for, like, one game. That's why it's fucking tough. It's, like, a sacrifice. It's, like, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. That's the whole thing I was going to. It's, like, you have to kind of think about the question, which I guess some people didn't, but it's, like, I don't know. It would be a tough decision. So
it
I had a gun to my head
really,
and said,
really hard to do. Because
what would you do? I'd be like, fuck, I don't know.
I envision, like, right now, how I feel about the Wii.
Yeah, okay, could you imagine that being, yeah, exactly.
That's basically what I'm saying, actually, because, you know, the Wii U is coming out next. And
But you wouldn't see, on the other side of that, you wouldn't see better than that, so you wouldn't, the graphics wouldn't look bad. Because you would have nothing to compare it to, right? Because it wouldn't be like us seeing the Wii and the Wii U and being like, fuck, man, that's, finally it reaches 360 and PS3 graphics, because that would never happen.
Well,
Again, in a vacuum.
Even in my scenario, it's like if I were to say we're going to keep, you know, the best fidelity you can get for this generation for the next 7 years, I'm still going to see better looking stuff on PC. So it would be hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but again, in a vacuum, it's
you can't start bringing out.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll have to cap the PC then too. Like basically, like whatever. I don't know. It's hard to cap PC because it's all a bunch of shit. But again, it was like console based. Like we can't bring in like TV.
I've got four video cards.
Yeah, exactly. We can't bring in that. Of course. My base point is in video games as in general, like video games, PC, fucking console, handheld, anything, your freaking watch, whatever. It's like, because watches have video games on them now. I don't know, but everything would basically be the same freaking level, and you would never see better than that. So you wouldn't have anything to compare it to. So it's like, you're not going to get that new console,
I get what you're saying.
This is awesome. That's exactly, I should have made it more clear into the thing, but it's like, everything would be like, all on equal. So you wouldn't be like, this looks crap compared to this console, because the same thing, it would be the same thing. The same bar all the way across. Because then you wouldn't really know. Because the only reason we shit on the Wii and the Wii U is because I mean, the 360 and PS3 are around. I mean, if the Wii U if the Wii came out after, like, around PS2 and Xbox and that was it, I don't think we'd be shitting on it too much. In terms of what games.
Well, yeah,
like.
I know, because it would be comparable with everything else.
Well, exactly,
more,
yeah.
The Wii's not even a graphical thing, though. It's a, that's a controlling game.
Well, right? Yeah, that's... Because
the games that control well on the Wii, I love.
Yeah, but we still do that whole, like, it looks good for a Wii game. It's like, well, yeah. I don't know. It's tough. Don't we have another email?
Maybe.
Let's move on to that.
I'm kind of scared to read this one.
Well, I think we've already put our points out there, so.
Pretty much.
All right, well, that last email got Jeff mad at me. Let's see if we can get
it. Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
You told me, fuck you, you told me, why'd you even come on?
Exactly, because you sat there and you're like, I'm like, dude, read the
it's
question
not my
like
fault.
Exactly what it is.
You picked a shit topic?
It's not my fault. You gotta be on a fence and you can't make a decision.
Feeling the love, guys. Feeling
the love. I love you, Jeff.
Yeah, fuck you.
God, I haven't had Jeff mad at me in a while. Ever. Fuck. No. This is great. I love it. Okay, hello, gents, says Jeff with a J. Obviously the superior way to spell Jeff.
Of course.
I'm going to go ahead and say absolutely yes. Don't get me wrong, though. I do enjoy a pretty-looking game, but graphics, quote-unquote, in general, rank pretty low on my, quote-unquote, what makes me love a game list. And I would be more than happy to sacrifice visuals in exchange for more creative, engrossing, and fun experiences and continue to work for most studios. However, if the masses of our society dictates anything, then even the very idea would probably cause absolute uproar, rebellions, and rioting. I'm sure Travis can relate when I say that, quote-unquote, graphics are the most important thing to many, many people, casual and hardcore alike.
That is true.
I don't have enough fingers and toes to count in a given day the amount of times I have someone ask me if a game that they have no idea about has, quote-unquote, good graphics.
Good graphics.
And I don't know why it's in quotes. And if my answer is anything short of celebrity phrase, then they just curl their nose and pass it off. It's really frustrating to me. I have a feeling that with this pending move to a new generation approaches, the millions of quote-unquote average Joe and Jane gamers will be looking for what the new quote-unquote graphics look
like.
There's
lots of quote-unquote.
I don't get it.
That's a lot.
And if said but this time the graphics isn't in quotes. If said graphics were all sacrificed for any other reason, then that would pose a massive barrier to keep the mass graphic whores in the world from upgrading. And I imagine Microsoft and Sony would not like that one bit. And that the pressure to spend the cash to deliver mind-blowing visuals are pretty high even now. That's about it. Better manana. Send from his quote-unquote iPhone.
That's got good graphics.
I'm going to tell you what. I actually, since I got an iPad, the first thing I bought was Infinity Blade.
Did you get the new one? Or
I started off with one. I got to get that story, man.
Oh, okay,
I got to
gotcha.
Get that storyline. So that game's fucking awesome. That's beautiful.
No. I meant the iPad. Not Infinity Blade.
Oh,
did you get did you get the newest iPad?
I got iPad 2 32 gig.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That's not bad. I like it.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not Android, but it's okay.
Of course.
I just hate not being able to customize shit.
Yeah, it's just kind of shit.
It drives me mad. It really does. But anyway, that's for another day. Anyway.
Okay.
You're in the middle of a thought there, and then you didn't finish it.
I just said that's for another day.
No, before that.
Oh, before that?
Yeah, before I asked you about the East. Yeah, you said
that's
you,
a pretty ass game.
Yeah, it's a pretty ass game.
Now, here's my deal. Let's actually bring this into the topic, though. Like, we're seeing like these like mobile games getting a little bit prettier. Cause like the Dead Space game doesn't look that bad. Like it's not a bad looking game. That's kind of cool to see, though, right? I mean, cause that's Chair who did Infinity Blade, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess I am kind of a graphics whore because I'll be honest with you. I mean, well, I don't know. If Infinity Blade looked a step down, like maybe even a generation behind, I'd still like the shit out of that game.
It's a fun gameplay.
Yeah, it's really good. But the big allure is that that game looks that fucking good on that small of a console. So I guess that's kind of different, but I mean.
Well, I want to bring it back. It's the same thing. Like, I want to bring it back to like the whole Heavy Rain thing. Like, that's a game almost based off of graphics. If Heavy Rain looked like like LucasArts games back in the PC days, I don't think anyone would really want to play it.
No.
Like, I guess they would, but it's based on the characters and how well they look and they act and, you know, the subtleties and the way they move their eyes and their lips and stuff. Yeah. And who knows, with, like, improve that even more, might enhance that experience even more. But it's going to cost double the price to make or something.
Right.
I don't know.
So, yeah. Graphics for the win.
Yeah. Based on the way you said it, then, you know, I'm on board under normal circumstances. as long as the game is engaging, I'm okay with sacrificing some graphics, but that's...
Yeah.
Seems like that's not where you were going.
No, I wasn't going for, like, would you sacrifice games, like, graphics, like, for certain, like, on a game-by-game basis for gameplay. That's not what I meant by it at all.
Right.
Yeah, what I totally meant is, like, if would you give up the, increase in graphic fidelity and all that kind of stuff to have games basically be stagnant in how they look, but the development cost stays the same or goes down, so development isn't, like, a bitch. And more people can actually make a profit. And it's kind of like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's like, well, yeah, you don't want to see anyone lose their jobs, but at the same time, it's like that upgrade and all that stuff makes for better experiences. So I don't know. I think a lot of it comes down to the budget, and just publishers have to be smarter with how much they budget for their games, I guess. And some people have really big dreams that just can't kind of get to them.
Yeah. Like
Kirk Schilling, and not that had to do, nothing that had to do with graphics, but that was just big budget. But I don't know. Anything else?
You know what I think?
What do you think?
What?
I think that, and especially seeing the way the like games late in this generation are going and everything, because everything's been, for the most part, about 95% of the games this generation, and this is a whole another topic for another day. But I think the way the economy's going, I think the way we're seeing. Vita games being priced and everything. Because I think it's fair to say that Vita is the next generation of portable, right? We're in the next generation on that space. By the end of this year, we're going to have at least five $50 Vita games. At least five.
Oh, it's like higher? What are they usually, 39?
They're usually at least 30 to 40, yeah, depending on the title.
Okay. Gotcha.
But we're going to have at least four or five Vita games that are $50, and that's a lot of money for handhelds. And it's because these games are looking better; they look great on the Wii, and it costs a lot of money to have those,
and
especially developing for the higher chipset and everything. I would not be surprised seeing the way the economy is going, and of course, you know, all this whole conversation has been a lot of speculation and everything about what ifs and what ifs. But when it comes down to it, it's about the fact that games are going to get better. They're going to look better. They're going to be prettier. They're going to be shinier, and that's going to cost more money. You know, these budgets aren't going to go... I mean, they'll go up a little bit, but they're not going to go up that much compared to maybe last generation to this generation. They just can't afford it. I would not be surprised if we saw maybe a $5 to $10 hike on normal games. Now, we'll probably see some still $60 games, but your AAA games, like, say, Uncharted... for the PS4, hypothetically speaking, I would not be surprised if that was a $70 title.
Would yeah, no, I they're yeah, they have so to make their money somehow.
They got to make their money, and if the cost to develop those AAA games are that much, they have to put faith in the fact that people are going to pay that for that game.
So the follow up question of the week is: if Grand Theft Auto is going to keep going, would you pay $10 more per game? And I'm sorry for yelling at Travis. I was
okay.
I got frustrated.
It's fine.
Because I was
Jeff,
like,
you're
they're
fine.
Not
Travis
understanding
is just a
me.
Sensitive today.
I'm actually the one that
he had his pizza, man.
I'm in a great mood. I'm not going to lie to you. Nothing's bringing me down. This greyhound is feeling good.
So. I'll wait till the next week when we talk about the price differential, then I'll yell again. But
oh,
yeah,
it's a sore subject. Don't start with
it's
me.
Tough.
With
it's tough.
All right, let's do some new releases and move on then.
Yeah,
I think we've wrapped
there's
that one up.
There's a lot of good shit next week, guys.
There's a lot of stuff. There's nothing I'm gonna get, but
what?
There's a lot of stuff.
Okay.
What's next week?
Let's see. Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, I might get that actually. That looks really
yes.
good.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. It looks really amazing. Good, actually. Yeah.
Funny how that works. I see what you did there, Travis.
You like that?
Cool story, bro.
Almost spectacular.
Oh, God.
Resident Evil Chronicles HD Collection.
Okay.
Spec Ops The Line.
Ooh, it looks so good.
Record of Lotus Wars 2. This is all for PS3, by the way. London 2012 Olympic Games. Let's see. Some of this stuff is, we're getting to the end of the June, so all the release list is littered with stuff that says Q2 2012. So let me get to the next, and that's it. 360 is so getting,
the
Battlefield.
Same shit.
Yeah. Battlefield 3 Close Quarters DLC, I assume.
Oh, okay.
Dawnguard is hitting next week. The Ooh. DLC for Skyrim.
Oh, for Skyrim.
Amazing Spider-Man, Spec Ops The Line, Dust.
Oh, that's not
next week. Sorry. It's quarter two 2012. Asshole. Sorry. You're I was like, asshole. Wait, really? I thought that was like the last
that's
game.
Summer
of
arcade.
Arcade.
That's
yeah,
Summer of Arcade.
It's the last game on it, I think.
Yeah.
London 2012. All right, this one actually has a date, so I'm going to say it. Crimson Dragon. Just Dance Greatest Hits. Sledgehammer.
Okay.
I'm wondering if all these are coming out next week, actually.
Yeah. You can stop.
Mini Ninjas anytime. Adventure. And that's it for the 360. Wii is getting Spider-Man, Just Dance Greatest Hits, and that's it. 3DS has Spider-Man. I'm seeing a trend here. Jewel Master Cradle of Rome 2 and Bomb Monkey.
That sounds amazing.
Awesome. And that is your new release list.
You also have to add that... at this time, well, if we release on Monday, tomorrow you can get your free 2 GB DLC for Mass Effect, the extended edition cut of the ending.
Yes, we did talk about that during news.
Okay, I was not sure.
Yes. Is it 2 GB? Damn.
2 GB. Wow. That's, you're 11.
That's pretty crazy, wow. Actually.
Glad I got that 320
gig. That throws our text joke right out of the window.
That's right, it does.
And this is a shitload of text.
All right, so pick of the week.
I'm going Amazing Spider-Man.
Chris, have you seen videos
of Spider-Man?
Peer
pressure's got me. I'm going
to
go with
Spider-Man. You need to see videos of it.
It actually
looks
so good.
Yeah, it does look cool.
Cool. So yeah, I'll go with Spider-Man too then.
All right. No, Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Amazing Spider-Man. That's what I'm going with next week. So.
Nice.
Cool, let's do some emails.
All right. Let's see what we got here. I'm going to dig in my bag of tricks and see what I can find.
Bag of tricks.
Oh, hey, look at this. Greg Schnabel, Southern Coyote.
What's up, man?
Here. Hey, Indus Crew. Southern All Coyote right. here, and I just wanted to know if you have any favorite tabletop games. What is it about them that you like? Think of this as Indus Unplugged. Over on The Goo, they've mentioned that they have some favorite games. But I can't recall if y'all have mentioned anything other than magic cards. If you're interested in any tabletop gaming, you should check out Tabletop on YouTube. Love, Greg.
I know that's that they've actually mentioned that on Gamers Only Older.
Well, yeah, I know Scott and Leo and Adam, they play like that shit all the time.
Yeah, but they've mentioned the tabletop show on YouTube. That's,
oh, okay,
that's what
gotcha.
I was getting to.
Gotcha.
It's
those two dudes.
The ones that I really like, I love Small World. Small World is really good. I love Dominion. That's probably one of my favorites.
Never played it. That's like Magic, right? But with
Dominion is the closest that I've ever gotten to kind of enjoying a tabletop game. They're not bad. They're just I'm way too ADD to play tabletop.
Yeah.
What's considered tabletop?
I think we're talking pretty much any board game. I mean, I was gonna mention apples to apples. I mean, I love apples to apples.
Yeah, apples to apples is my favorite.
I don't
be one of the few that I like.
Yeah, I don't really get into the ones that take hours and hours to play.
Monopoly.
So I just can't. Well, not even that. Some of these other ones that they're talking about on The Goo. I mean, it takes a couple hours to set up.
like the Lord
and,
of the Rings.
And I'm not really into that. I mean, Dominion is nice because it's got like this interesting set of rules that go behind it, and it's quick to set up, you know, and a typical game lasts maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's a good, you know, chunk. And, you know, you get your playtime in and you can go to something else or, you know. Small World is really cool because it's like a fantasy tabletop game, and you actually you choose like a race and I'm trying to remember if this is right. You choose a race and like a specialty, and based on your race and specialty, you get bonuses for the game. And in the game, you're trying to take over territories, and as you're taking over territories, you're leaving like some of your troops and your minions in different territories, and it's pretty neat. It's like the one time that I played it, I end up with like I can't remember what race it was, but I was a dragon trainer or something like that. And basically the special ability I had is I could basically send my dragon to a territory and take it over and just be done. So I didn't have to actually build up my army and go in and take over and outmatch their army. So that was a pretty cool game.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I gotta give props to this straight up D&D, man.
That's man, I miss playing D&D. I really
we've got, you know what? D&D I'm gonna twice. Start sometime this week. I'm gonna take 5 minutes. And I'm gonna start a thread of all of our closest people. Chris, if you need, you know what? I mean, you probably know the core group better than I do. So you need to start an email about a D&D thread.
Dude, I don't have time to play D&D.
Okay, let's just do it really like don't. Once every month, dude. Like, it's just a D&D.
We could
night.
Probably
just
do that.
Roll up. Let's do it.
All right, maybe we can do that. We've actually, like me and a friend of mine had actually talked about doing like D&D via video Skype. You know, I mean that shit would work.
I don't know, dude. I gotta be drunk or high in person.
Yeah, D&D is not something you want to play on like over Skype. That brings it to a whole another level of nerd.
Yeah,
that's just that's really bad. Like, what are you doing tonight? Playing D&D? Oh, cool. You having people over, drinking beers? No, well, I'm drinking beers by myself at my computer, and we're playing D&D on Skype.
We gotta be together, like battle and brew.
You gotta. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Cool. Was that it?
That's it.
Yeah,
for
I like Taboo. Taboo is always fun. That's one of my
Taboo's
favorite games.
Cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, I've named.
I played Hero Quest a lot when I was younger, and Battle Masters.
And then of course,
I don't know if anyone remembers that.
You know, could always bring Magic back up. But
yeah. I was gonna say that until he said it,
dude. If you like Dominion, you'll like Magic.
But the thing is, I can't.
Seriously,
I can't. I like Dominion, but does it make sense when I say I can't absorb it? Like after after about 20 minutes, I'm just like, I'm done. I gotta stop.
Okay. Well.
Magic's kind of cool. Magic doesn't really take that long. The part with Magic, once you get used to it, it takes a while to learn it. Once you learn it, it's a lot more fun and, quicker.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cool. Again, that's something you got to play with beers and people over.
So I have voicemails, but I don't have them ready. So that's totally on me and my fault.
Way to go, douche.
So the person who sent them in knows who they are. And
Navishin?
No, it's not Navishin.
Oh, okay.
But I will get those voicemails on next week.
Cool.
So, do we want to do Indus questions? Do we have any?
We do have some. Do you want to save them or you want to go now? We're doing okay for time, right?
Let's just do a couple. Let's do
a couple. There's only a few anyway, so let's just go with that. We'll go with, all right, here we go. Dark Bauer says, what one flavor of food or drink can you not stand?
Oh, banana.
Flavor of food or drink.
Banana?
No,
oh my
no, wait, listen. I love bananas, but I hate banana flavored shit.
Really?
I don't know what it is, but it's like the fake banana. Yeah, that fake, that artificial banana flavoring. I hate it. It's like when I get a package of Runtz, I will take all the banana Runtz out and give.
Oh, you are crazy! You are insane!
Absolutely.
Why do you even come on the show, Chris?
Chris, I'm with you. I don't like the banana Runtz either. I like the little pink and green Runtz.
You guys are you like the green? Oh my god!
But I like banana and everything, like banana pudding, bananas.
Yeah,
I like banana pudding. Yeah, if it's actually made with real banana. I like it, but the artificially flavored banana stuff, I just don't like that shit. I just don't.
I don't like, aside from peppermints, I don't like mint flavored things.
Mint flavor?
Yeah.
And
I just physically can't eat chocolate, so I guess.
God, Travis, why'd you come on the show? What's wrong with you?
You seriously can't eat chocolate?
I can't, no, I literally physically cannot eat chocolate.
No, I did not know that.
It burns my teeth, actually. It's weird. I did find someone else that actually has the same thing as me. But yeah.
When you look up, crazyteethproblems.org or something.
Teeth problems.
It's a disease, Jeff. Okay?
Sorry.
They call us teethies. It's
a handicap.
It's a handicap.
That's fucked up.
It's basically a retardation.
I just can't stand olives. I don't like olives.
Oh, man.
I know. And so many people love olives. I just do not like them.
What did you say? I missed it. I'm sorry.
Olives. And you're, of course, olives. You like olives. You're Italian.
Well, no, I only like black olives. I don't like green olives.
See, Megan's really. The same way.
I like, don't know what it is.
Black olives, no green olives. And I'm like, oh, really? I can have them both. Like, see, I make a really mean Mediterranean pasta. It's a high-colored spiral pasta mixed with both olives grinded up. And it's pan-fried in olive oil, seasoned chicken and everything. And then I top it off with feta cheese and a little bit of, like, Marsala wine sauce and everything. And it's just, like, really, 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 really good. And a little bit of, like, balsamic vinegar, too, just a little for a little kick. But, man, the olives make it, and you got to have both. But, like, you just don't like olives at all.
None. It's been a while since I've actually really had one, though, because... I've had a lot of taste when I get older. I actually kind of like stuff. Like, actually, like the taste of liver and onions now.
I used to hate that shit. Oh,
yeah, yeah, now I really like it. Oh, yeah, yeah, so for all I know,
mashed
I should.
Potatoes?
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. I just need to fucking just man up and just like.
It's basically poutine with nasty meat.
But yeah, I have to try them again. Well,
on the olive thing, do you eat pickles? Do you like pickles?
I do like pickles,
then
yes.
Then why don't you like olives?
Because olives taste nothing like pickles to me. Travis, do you like donuts? Do you like donuts?
Yes, I like donuts.
Well, then why the fuck don't you eat fucking...
steak.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes.
Why don't you like bagels? They've got holes in them, too.
Jesus.
Oh man.
Why did I come on the show?
now all three of us have asked that question.
Navishin says, he goes, what petty thing that somebody does that you feel is completely weird? For example, pouring milk in a bowl first, then adding cereal.
Oh, that is fucking weird.
That is weird.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I gotta dig deep for this one.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a thinker.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, because I know there's a bunch of shit where I've seen people like, what the fuck? Like, that is really fucking weird, but I can't think of a single example right now. Oh, eating popcorn one at a time. That drives me nuts. One of my friends does that. Hmm. Like, he can't do it like a handful. It's literally one at a time.
I don't like it when people, I just don't comprehend, like, when people take, like, a ketchup packet. Tear a tiny hole in it and squeeze ketchup from top to bottom on the French fry and eat it.
Oh yeah, that's
like,
that's
just dip it, dog.
Waste of time. Yeah, exactly.
Just dip it.
Oh yeah,
but just pour that shit all over the fries or something. That's fucking. Yeah. That's ridiculous. It's dumb.
God, this is a tough one. I can't think of anything.
I can think of a million, but
like,
I
know I've got
right
like four of them at least, and I just can't think of any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm at a loss. Okay. Well, the best I could do is I think it's weird when people mix mayonnaise and ketchup together.
That's delicious.
Mayonnaise and anything. Mayonnaise is nice.
I've never done it purposely, but I've had like mayonnaise and ketchup on a burger before.
Oh, you should try it, Jeff. It's delicious.
But just mixing that shit together and just
really good dipping sauce for fries.
I don't see that being gross by any means. So
I despise mayonnaise with passion. That's why.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but. All right. Well, Fluffy Nut says, "What's your favorite Phil Collins song?"
Ooh, okay. Mine's out there. Go, you guys go first. Mine's out there.
Wow. The entire Lion King soundtrack.
That's not Phil Collins. That's Elton John.
Totally fucked that up. That is Elton John too.
It's Tarzan. Tarzan is.
No, I'm saying that's Elton John who does. Yeah, yeah. Phil Collins is Tarzan, but Elton John did Lion King. Fuck. Somebody knocking on my door.
God, this is really, really hard.
I'll give you mine then. Mine is back when he was with Genesis. I Can't Dance.
Oh, that's a good one.
I fucking love that song.
You know what I love, and I always like this video used to creep me out as a kid too. Is Land of Confusion? Do you remember that one?
That's actually my favorite.
Creepy ass fucking video.
It is a creepy ass video, but it was a good song. It was a really good song.
It's right up there with that Tom Petty video where it's Alice in Wonderland theme, and at the end, Alice is a cake, and they eat her. Oh
yeah,
my god.
Yeah, that one was creepy. That
very one. I don't remember that at
Don't
all.
Come around here no more.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, that used to scare me as a child.
And then there's always the O-Long song, but I can't remember what that was actually called.
I'm terrible with song names, so it's...
I am too.
Land of Confusion is definitely good. Disturbed did a really good cover of that.
How about...
They did. They did. That's really good. I forgot about that.
How about... I can be calling in...
That's the O-Long song. I don't know what it's called, though.
Yeah. Air Tonight, no?
Yeah, In the Air.
In the Air Tonight?
In the Air Tonight.
That might be what it is.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Bistix, this will be the last one. He says, who does the laundry at your house?
Me and my wife both do laundry. I do mine, she does hers and babies.
My wife does her laundry about every 2 weeks. I do my laundry about
once a month.
Month and a half.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say the same thing.
I do my laundry every 1 to 2 weeks. And Crystal's
damn.
Fucking doing laundry like twice, 2-3 times a week with the kids. So, how do you do that, man? Jesus,
I am one.
You wear smelly
year.
Shit? Is that what's
I am
going
on?
No,
last year's underwear right now.
I was wondering what that smell was when
true.
You were around last time.
Wait, you were that close to his asshole?
No. Well, no, it was that bad that you could smell that far away.
Oh, shit. I'm just going to just mirror what Travis just said. Maybe add on another
week.
I'm just
terrible. Here's my deal with laundry. I don't mind putting the laundry in the washing machine. I don't mind taking it out of the washing machine.
Yes.
It's the folding and putting away, right?
It's once the dryer is done... I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Nothing
I can understand that. I can understand that.
That's the worst.
I will say this, though. I don't actually hang up or put away any of my clothes. It's like I get them out of the dryer like while they're still warm so I don't have to iron anything. And then I lay them out on the couch so that they're flat and don't get wrinkled. And then I just put them somewhere where I can just pick it up when I go to work. And it's like, all right, this is what I'm wearing today. And I go out the door.
That's the worst part of doing it for sure.
It is, yeah. Oh.
That's all the end of questions.
Thank you for joining us for the laundry podcast.
or the not so much laundry podcast.
That's right. The we don't do laundry enough podcast.
The smell of drawers cast.
Smelling drawers.
I just make sure that I have 30 pairs of underwear. That's all.
I have 4.
That's a great idea. Jesus, that's awesome.
Dude, underwear's cheap, man. Just go out and
I
buy like
buy underwear.
Seriously, just my old roommate used to do that. He never used to do his socks laundry. He'd just buy new socks. Like, fuck it.
Oh, oh shit. Alright, let's do question of the week.
Alright,
question of the week this week is actually comes out of Travis's magic bag of tricks.
Try it. Yeah. I'm gonna get us a good one, guys. I'm gonna redeem
all
us
right.
from
go.
From
so Travis, why don't you tell us what you got?
Actually, I was reading an article earlier today on IGN, believe it or not. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, you can't spell ignorant without IGN.
That's true, actually.
So I was reading this article, and it's actually one of the more enjoyable features that I've read in a long time on the interwebs. And it was basically talking about the next gen consoles and is Sony and Microsoft taking too long and everything. So basically, what we're going to put out there with the Wii U being, you know, all Nintendo's talking about. I mean, a little 3DS aside, but the Wii U being the big thing this year at E3 for Nintendo, and we have mum's been the word about the next generation for Sony and Microsoft. Are the other two consoles? Is Sony and Microsoft making a mistake by being shy and being quiet about their future generations of consoles? Is this good or is this bad?
Alright.
Cool. Alright. You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email. That address is email at interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's not me, it's Pete.
You can get us on Google Talk as well, and that's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Gmail, Steam, and Facebook. Just search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. And check us out on Retroids. Come register. Hang out with us in the forums. We'd appreciate that. And that's all I got. You guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here? I don't either. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I am Angry Geoff.
Angry Geoff. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.